You're with us for Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Wisconsin Historical Society and other archivists want us to keep a diary during this pandemic. And diaries and journals, they offer future generations a snapshot of our challenges, of our motivations, feelings during this crisis. And during this time of isolation and sky-high unemployment, keeping a journal may be a healthy outlet. So we are getting writing tips from three Wisconsin authors. Are you keeping a diary right now? Will you share a bit with us? We're at 800-642-1234. Stephanie Bodine has published 6 picture books and 10 novels for young readers. Stephanie, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
We also have Rebecca Meacham with us, who writes fiction and nonfiction and chairs the English program at UW-Green Bay. Rebecca, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's a delight.
And Patricia Skulka, author of the Dave Kubiak Door County Mystery Series. She turned to fiction following a career in nonfiction. Patricia, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, it's good to be here. Good morning.
Well, Rebecca, let's start with you. How valuable are diaries to historians or authors? What do they give us?
Oh, they give us so much in terms of the fabric and texture of daily life. And we can actually get a lot of the characters, or voices rather, of actual people at the time and the ways that they spoke and the secrets that they kept. Just before we went on the air, I pulled up an excerpt of a diary that I'd been using. I'm trying really hard to write a novel set against the backdrop of the 1871 Peshtigo fire. And it's very hard if you don't know much about 1871 or fires or Wisconsin to kind of get in that space. And so I just pulled out something from my files, and I had downloaded excerpts from this diary of Emily Hawley Gillespie from May 1858. And from one perspective, it would look kind of like boring or tedious because there are a lot of little tiny entries and they're just sort of chronicling routine. But the routine is fascinating to me because this woman's life, or young woman's life, is filled with spiritual meetings with her, going to different meetings with her parents and doing gardening work. But she's also really opinionated. And so it says, I'm just going to read a couple excerpts because it's just interesting. They're very short.
Yeah.
Edna and I walk out over the garden and fields. The weather is pleasant, but I am sad. How hard it is to be poor, and let us be content and look forward to brighter days. I sit me down in my bedroom alone and find relief in tears. And then the next excerpt is kind of gossipy about her friend and her opinions about how people should love spouses. She's very judgmental about her cousins. I do think she's talking about her aunt. I do think her children are awfully noisy. Seems as though I never was. And so it's
some things don't change.
We tend to like sort of elevate, old and tiny. Me sort of, oh, this is how it used to be, but there's just so much voice and opinion and personality even about these routines. So for me, I'm looking for information like, what did people do to pass the time? But also, how did they think about it? And how did they feel about who they were in their roles as daughters or professionals or, people who wanted to be in love or were alone?
Oh, wow. That's really fascinating. Thank you for reading those excerpts. Stephanie, it's kind of like a window into the soul.
I think absolutely, because it really gives you an idea of what people are going through in times. I actually did a little research, too, and I think like so many other people, we grew up reading so many great children's books. For me, I love Pippi Longstocking, and I've always been really fascinated by the author, Astrid Lindgren. And there's actually a book of her diaries. It's called The World Gone Mad. And during 1939 to 45, during the Second World War, she kept a diary. And it's got like a lot of life, like things about the shortages of butter and blackouts and things like that. But then that was also during the time that, to make her little daughter feel better, she started making up stories at bedtime, which ended up becoming Pippi Longstocking. But
oh, that is cool.
One of the entries, which I love because it's like a little family life, but then it's also a worldview. She wrote, "Today was Karin's birthday. Today the Germans reached the English Channel. And today summer arrived. Wonderful and painfully lovely to take in with all one's senses."
Oh, wow. Patricia, what do you see in the merit of journaling?
I think it gives people, several things. First of all, it gives the individual who's doing it an opportunity to really express their true feelings. You know, they something they might not want to tell other people that they're dealing with, how they feel about a situation. So it's a terrific emotional outlet, and it's like really it's like having a friend that you can confide in. And the other thing is that it allows, from my perspective, it allows me to capture language. It allows me to capture images of people. And I walk around with a little notebook, which is not, you know, technically you think of journaling as sitting and writing, you know, at the end of the day. But I have this notebook I carry with me. And if I see something that catches my eye, I'll describe it, you know, a person on a bus or a person sitting in a park or a snatch of conversation that I overhear in a restaurant, just because it's interesting and it kind of captures the moment. And then I have a whole stack of these things and I go through them. And so for a writer, it's a valuable resource of ideas and images and language that people use.
We're talking about journaling, about keeping a diary during this pandemic. We have three Wisconsin authors with us. Patricia Skalka there, author of books in the popular Dave Kubiak Door County Mystery series. She lives in Milwaukee. Rebecca Meacham, chair of English and director of creative writing at UW Green Bay. And we have Stephanie Bodine with us. She's an author, published children's books, YA novels, and she lives in Black River Falls. You can join in with your tips on keeping a journal. What habits have come to practice for you during these times? What helps you express your feelings or your observations on paper? Do you keep a little notebook with you where you go? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Rebecca, you know, should we be concerned about punctuation, about grammar, about, you know, whether our construction is just right for these journals? Like, what if you are that kind of perfectionist?
You have to let it go. Absolutely not. Do not worry. Do not censor yourself. And I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir here with the other writers on this call who are fascinating. This is so much fun. So you have to just sort of jump in and not worry. I mean, the journals that I'm reading, even from, you know, in all these different historical eras, these writers are clearly writing for themselves. They're uncensored. The grammar is imperfect. And that's actually, I mean, from my perspective, I'm not making any judgments of quality. I'm fascinated in terms of how they construct a sentence, or even if they care about sentences. And so from my perspective as an author kind of looking at these journals, I don't, you know, if people are worried, oh my goodness, this is going to be preserved for all time, and if someone else reads this, they'll think I'm an idiot or I don't know how to spell or anything, you have to let that go, because I assure you, if anyone even came upon it later on, they would absolutely just treasure just seeing these glimpses into daily life. But in terms of just writing, just put words on paper and do not worry. And in fact, make some of your entries or journal, things you want to log there. Give yourself a rule to, you know, do everything, write, do a spill, write everything you can in 10 minutes, uncensored. Don't worry about any kind of punctuation or grammar or complete sentences, or give yourself a challenge of listing. Just list things. Don't even worry about sentences. Just everything you see in the room right now or outside right now, or what the five things that your mother said on the phone to you last time, you know, the advice that your friends are giving you that are wild. Just remove the sort of pressure of perfection and just go.
Going Wild with Prompts, Rebecca Meacham there, chairs the English program at UW Green Bay. We're talking with Patricia Skalka, Stephanie Bodine, back in a moment on the Ideas Network. It's Wisconsin Weekend on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. We're talking about diaries this hour, writing. We have three Wisconsin authors. So historians hope our chronicling of this moment may help researchers or future generations understand what happened during the pandemic. Do you enjoy keeping a journal? What are your favorite subjects to write about? Do you keep a digital diary through social media or a blog? Do you plan to pass down your journal one day? Be part of this. 800-642-1234. We have Wisconsin authors Stephanie Bodine, Rebecca Meacham, and Patricia Skalka who stay with us. Let's take a call now. Let's invite Daryl in Couderay. Hi, Daryl.
Good morning.
Good
Thank
morning.
You for taking my call. I started journaling from December 25th of last year, and I record everything that the sitting president says. I'm doing this because I feel the sitting president is really our most evident symptom during this pandemic, because anyone knows that the symptom is not the cure. I believe only we, the people, can be the cure, unless we don't even try. That would make we, the people...
So, Daryl, do you focus on specific excerpts of what the president says and work from there?
Yeah.
How do you write around it?
Yeah, and I go back and I fact check and for the date and the time he says everything. And then I've been talking with people on the phone because I'm keeping social distancing, and I'm asking them, you know, what they think. And it's amazing how much people don't remember or don't want to remember.
Daryl, how much time do you devote to writing each day?
Well, I'm retired. I'm 71, so I have all day. And I don't do it all day, but I listen in the morning first, and then at the end of the day, then I condense it.
Mm. So you do even do revisions. Patricia, I want to bring you into the conversation here. You know, as people write about their reaction to the news, how do you bring that in as, you know, developments happen day after day? That takes quite a bit of discipline as a writer.
Oh, yeah, it really does. And I think that one of the things I was thinking about when I was invited to be on the program was the question of how do you approach this? What do you do? And I think that you do have to have a system, but you have to have a system. Like this gentleman seems to have, you know, he starts in the morning and then he revises in the evening. And I think if you have any way that you do this, it should be according to some kind of schedule, but that you also have to be realistic with yourself. And that you can't necessarily have that hour a day or goal of X number of words, or I'm going to fill so many pages a day. I think you have to just realize that your life is kind of upended right now, and you kind of almost have to grab things when you can. So do, you know, take that maybe 10 minutes at lunch, or maybe instead of, you know, if you don't have your family with you and you don't have a lot of demands going on, instead of watching television when you're eating your dinner or right after you eat your dinner, maybe that's when you sit down for a little while and write and kind of channel it that way so that you're doing it more or less at the same time every day and for a certain amount of time. And I liked what Rebecca had said earlier about not worrying about style and punctuation and if you sound intelligent or if you're sounding goofy when you're writing. Because if people come back, if you decide to go back and, let's say, prepare this material or draw from it to do a family history or a history of the period, an essay perhaps based on it, you can always fix it up then. Or if other people discover your diaries later, you know, your grandchildren, and they want to write about the era, they're going to take the details and they'll fix the grammar, they'll fix the punctuation. So you don't have to worry about that. I mean, I've been in workshops where people are working on family histories and everything gets kind of tidied up.
Stephanie, what about you? Do you have a system for writing each day? How do you spend time with your writing?
I do try to get writing every day. I'm in the middle of a novel during this pandemic, and it's been a bit of a struggle. And so I think what's happened is my accountability has changed. Like, it used to be like, okay, I'm going to sit down today, write a couple thousand words, get going. And during this, I've had such a lack of focus. And so my goals have changed and it's been smaller. It's like, okay, just sit down and play these five songs and just write till these five songs are done and then see how you feel after that. And so it's finding little ways to get yourself to do it without having to go, you know, really force yourself to do something that you're not ready to do. So I think my goals have changed during this time.
it's amazing that even a novelist has to have these little carrots in front of them, so to speak, to really commit to that writing.
Absolutely.
Kate, if I could jump in with something here. I was working on at one point a couple of years ago, I had my goal of X number of words a day, and I was fine meeting it, and then life started happening, and it got really complicated, so I was falling short every day, and I felt like it made me feel miserable. I felt like a failure. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And what I did was I revised the goal. I cut my word count that I was aiming at in half. And then when I would exceed it by even 100 words or 200 words, I felt great. So, this is like what Stephanie is saying, that if you let's say you're trying to write for 10 minutes a day or 20 minutes a day, and you sit down one day and you just don't have it in you. And then, well, maybe do what Rebecca had said earlier. Just make a list. Just do something. Don't hold yourself to this higher goal, because it is hard to focus during this time we're in.
We're talking with Patricia Skalka. She's the author of the Dave Kubiak Door County Mystery series. Rebecca Meacham is here, Chair of English and Director of Creative Writing at UW Green Bay. And we have Stephanie Bodine, who is an author of young adult and children's books. You can join in with your writing, journaling. Do you struggle with writer's block? Have you tried to overcome this? What are your tips for getting through it and committing to writing right now during the pandemic? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. So, Rebecca, how much detail should we keep in a journal? I mean, you were giving us so many amazing prompts there. how much detail is okay? Well, when do we get kind of drowning in detail?
Oh, I think for the purposes of a journal, there's no like limit that you should put on that, because again, it's your document. It's however you would like to do it. So some days you may have one line and some days you may have many lines, and those lines may be absolutely chock full of different details that you're observing. But I do want to make a very specific pitch for a lot of detail. And this is both as a person who like has a memory that like not a great memory, has to go back and kind of look at what did I write when and how can I reconstruct this scene? I don't remember much about it. And that is, for example, and as a writer that's looking into the past, just any detail, even down to, I was thinking about this for our conversation today, even down to a lot of people are learning new crafts or returning to sort of the way, olden timey sort of sewing. They've not sewn in a long, they're making masks, or I see a lot of stuff on social media of I'm making bread and there are yeast shortages everywhere, because everyone's getting really, well, put your recipes, put details of even, I know this sounds ridiculous, but even like where you got the ingredients and how hard it was to do that, because it seems ridiculous that in this day and age there'd be yeast shortages at grocery stores, but that says something about your priorities and the priorities of everyone around you that wants to get back to some kind of baking. And then along those lines, if that's what you find yourself writing about, put your ingredients down, maybe even put in a memory of the best bread you ever had, or baking with your great aunt, or something that also allows us to understand the kind of experience that is for you. Or maybe you're terrible in the kitchen. Yesterday I found out that hot water can splash on you, and that was a surprising fact for me. And so I had a near disaster, and then I asked on Facebook, tell me about your fiascos. And it was fascinating to see, just even where that led as a moment. And if I had a journal like that, just having that memory and that specificity would be amazing. So I guess this is also a way of me saying, don't try to get too orderly. Like, allow yourself to digress and meander. If a moment of baking bread leads to the recipe, leads to a memory, put it all in there. There's no limit on how cool that could be.
Stephanie, do you love the mess in writing?
I do. And talking about like social media and stuff, I think Twitter has kind of become our diary during this time, because it's a matter of like, I think about my journaling and it's kind of vague and it rambles, but Twitter is much more, you get really kind of focused little terse gems Like, I was looking back at some of my Twitter this month, and like on April 5th, I wrote, 3 weeks ago, none of the restaurants in my town delivered. Now they all do.
Uh-huh. We have our Wisconsin authors with us on Keeping a Diary, giving us writing tips. We have Stephanie Bodine there, children's and young adult author based in Black River Falls. Rebecca Meacham is with us, creative writing director at UW Green Bay. Patricia Skalka lives in Milwaukee, and you know her from the Dave Kubiak mystery series. How would you feel about historians using your diary to understand the pandemic? Would that feel like too much of an invasion of privacy? Would you value allowing access to your thoughts? Join in at 800-642-1234. Wisconsin Weekend continues on writing, on diaries, what you're writing right now. It's right after this news update here on the Ideas Network. It's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As the impact of COVID-19 grows in Wisconsin, WPR is committed to bringing you coverage of the latest developments from our reporters around the state. You can submit questions or concerns about COVID-19. We'll do our best to track down the information through our Wisconsin project. Find it all at WPR.org/COVID. Right now, we're talking about writing, keeping a diary, a more introverted activity than we normally discuss here in Wisconsin Weekend. But with social distancing and the economic shutdown, our options for events or places to explore are so much more limited. But writing, it can really transport us, right? You know, take us to new places. Where do you find inspiration for writing? Do you draw on certain places or authors to help you get started, get inspired? Are you keeping a coronavirus diary? Tell us about what's going on with it and how you make time to write. 800-642-1234. We have Wisconsin authors Stephanie Bodine, Rebecca Meacham, and Patricia Skalka as our guides. So, Stephanie, you write for kids. How could young kids start keeping a diary? How would you suggest we, you know, really get them into putting down their thoughts?
Well, one easy way, when I was doing a MFA, my mentor said, I want you to keep a journal every day. And I was very resistant to that. And she said, we're just going to call it a weather journal. I just want you to sit in the same chair every day, look out the same thing every day, and start with the weather and see what happens from there. And it was pretty amazing because I'd sit in the chair and I'd look out and I'd be like, okay, cloudy with a chance of rain. And then it would just meander and I would start hitting all these tangents. Like today, I imagine I would put cloudy with a chance of rain and then perhaps I might dive into the Packers draft pick last night.
I thought you would be like cloudy with a chance of meatballs or something like that. And what about kids interviewing their parents? Might that be a way to get this going?
Absolutely, especially with kids. There are so many workers right now in such dangerous situations, and they're keeping our country running. And I would think a child who wants to interview their parent about their day at work, there would be so much value in that.
One of the cool things, my daughter, she's 10, and she did to her younger brothers, she wrote a letter to each of them yesterday. I did not prompt her to do this, but it was not like a formal letter. It was using the first letters of their names and then putting, adjectives after each of their letters in their name. And I thought it was just adorable. And then she, you know, put a fake stamp on it. She addressed it. She put them all in the mailbox, and then she ran into the living room and said, okay, everyone check the mail. You each have a letter from me. And it was so cute. It was so much fun. Rebecca, are there things that we can do that make it journaling but not journaling?
Well, you know, this, I think I'm going to answer this by kind of going back over some of the things that folks were saying about kind of, especially what Stephanie was saying about just sort of getting started. So I think this will answer. I was thinking about how difficult it was for me to get up and write my novel, and I'm still working on it. It's taking years and years, and find that time. And so I would start with the sort of last thing on my mind. And usually that was what I had dreamt, right? So I'm one of these super boring people that's like, guess what my dream was about last night? Nobody wants to hear it, but I can't wait to tell it. And so I would just start with a dream. And here I am, you know, in year 2015, 16, whenever I was doing this, and trying to access the lives of characters, as I said, for this novel set in 1871. And that created this, like, this space where, you know, anyone can dream at any point in history. And it was really interesting because I had some dream where I was like, there was something was covered in salt. It was very odd. And I was like, well, what the heck can I do? And I just started writing it out. And then that kind of led to like what that felt like. And, oh, it's like people who can't move. They feel sort of trapped, you know, they feel ground down. And that led into then what I, as a fiction writer, wanted to do, which was get into the emotional space of some of my characters trapped in routines. But I'm just, you know, I think starting off kind of with that weather report or what's right in front of you, dreams are, even if they're just fascinating to you, just even doing that, you don't have to analyze them, you don't have to get into, you know, archetypal Jungian psychology or anything, you just write it down because it becomes its own story, but it also can lead you into these interesting places to meander and just go.
Patricia, I'm wondering for you, since we really can't go outside our home other than the grocery store and you know, in essential places like that, is it hard for you to keep these little scrapbooks of life when you're not really that near people?
Oh, yes. it is difficult, but one of the things that I have a very dear friend, and we actually write letters. We snail mail letters to each other. And when I get a letter from her, it is just rich with the detail of her life and what's going on with her kids. And it's so different from the kind of emails that you normally get and those kinds of things. So then I'll write her a letter back. And there's something very precious about it. It's why I like what you had said about your daughter, you know, doing the letter to her siblings, because it means so much when you have that piece of paper that you're holding in front of you. But the other thing that I find that is very helpful to me is just to read, because reading tends to get my mind going. It's like it helps my brain connect with itself. I'm a member of the Wisconsin Writers Association, and we did a Zoom session where people were doing open mic and reading little, you know, parts of whatever they were working on. And there were several, you know, there were several of us who were doing fiction, but then several people read poetry, and I was just kind of like swept away by it. It was so beautiful, and it really got into the emotions and hearts of things. And they weren't necessarily writing about what was happening today, but somehow the poetry helped me connect with that. So I find myself drawn to reading anything that's well written, anything that's interesting to me. It helps me feel things at an emotional level that otherwise get kind of blocked out. And the other thing would be, I mean, I go for like a long walk every day if I can, if the weather permits. And it's just observing other people, of course, at a distance, but you nod, you say hello. Some people smile, some people don't. And even that helps with a bit of a human connection.
Mm. Can I jump in on that real quick?
Sure.
This is Rebecca. I wanted to say, too, I love all these ideas that I'm walking right now in my neighborhood, and so one thing that I do when I run or walk, because I'm so slow either way, is I tend to take photos. And so I'm probably the least disciplined writer and the least like writer of all the people we're talking to right now. But what I love to do is sort of document, you know, a daily life in photos. And so what I've been doing on my walks and even going to Home Depot or going to the grocery store is taking photos, I don't publish them. I'm not doing anything with them. It's not even like social media. It's just these statements. And on my walk, there's a little free library. And the little free library is adorable. And they have a little bench for the dogs and bowl. And it's this really great sort of moment on the path. But they put up a sign in the little free library, the people who made it, and it said, "We disinfect our books every day, and you should feel safe. We come out, and I had to take a picture of that because it was a communal moment. But it was like, think of this if you want to do like documenting for history, like it's such a statement of right now, but also that somebody was so concerned that they wanted people to be able to have books and reading and enjoy all of that, but also to communicate it's safe to do that. So those little photos, or if someone with a blue ribbon in their front yard, like those are the kinds of things that I'm documenting, but not necessarily writing about, that I might find words for at another time.
Stephanie, what about you? Where do you find those bits of inspiration? What are you reading?
I'm currently reading nonfiction, actually. I'm a huge fiction reader. I just devour books, but I've had a tough time during this. But I'm reading a nonfiction book called Hidden Valley Road, Inside the Mind of an American Family, about a family that has several children with schizophrenia. Because my novel I'm writing right now, I do have a schizophrenic character, and so I'm reading that for research.
Research,
mainly.
Yeah, yeah. Does that help you to either read other you know, authors who maybe are a far cry from what you're writing? I mean, I would imagine too that writing for young adults is certainly different than writing for adults.
It is. And I'm finding that the pandemic is kind of sneaking in. And I'm thinking, is there going to be like literature after the pandemic? Because this is such a shared experience. Are we going to start reading books and be like, well, wait, they shouldn't be shaking hands because of the pandemic?
It's
way into my characters. I realize that I need to have them mention that, you know what, I had COVID, so it's okay. And so it's actually made its way in, and actually it's actually going to serve a plot point for me that this went through, and I realized, wow, this kind of solves a problem for me. So
Patricia, have you been thinking about that in your writing?
Yes, I have, and I haven't quite figured out what I'm going to do with it. I find myself going more to the past and looking at things that have happened to people. There's a wonderful room, a history room, in the Door County Library in Sturgeon Bay. And I often just go and immerse myself in that room, pulling books off the shelf, going through like the reports, the sheriff's reports going back, you know, decades, and reading snippets of what life was like. And it's so stunning in a way to view the hardships that people endured, because life has changed so much, or had until recently. And what I envision now is people going in the future, looking back on this time period and thinking, wow, that was really hard, or that was really different, and wondering how it's going to impact, you know, life as it progresses. But that's the value of all of this kind of detail, because it makes life real. It gives you that sense of, you know, like the recipes for bread that Rebecca was talking about, keeping track of. When people in the future look at this, or your children or your grandchildren read this, it gives them an appreciation for the progress that's been made, or maybe the lack of progress that's been made, but a sense that we're all struggling at different points in time with different issues.
We're talking with Patricia Skalka, Rebecca Meacham, Stephanie Bodine here as well, and you, 800-642-1234. Still time to talk about your journaling. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. It's Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about writing, keeping a journal during this time. Historians say you can keep a valuable diary in whatever medium works for you. It could be a journal, recording yourself talking, taking videos, posting to digital media. Do you write something when it strikes you? Do you keep photos or notes, maybe on your phone? Join in, 800-642-1234. We have Stephanie Bodine, Rebecca Meacham, and Patricia Skalka, who stay with us, and they're authors from Black River Falls, UW-Green Bay, and Milwaukee. Let's take a call now. Jim is with us from Oconomowoc this morning. Hi, Jim.
Good morning. I have to tell you that I've always liked writing, but this time I've been writing. The most important piece is a history of my life for my children. I'm 85 years old and want them to have a little bit of my history, because they've always been interested. But then I also enjoy some poetry, and it's not very good, but my son was building a new toilet in. So I wrote a funny poem about the history of indoor plumbing, especially toilets. And they got a big kick out of it. And some other friends that I read it to, they got a big kick out of it. So I've been really enjoying this time to have the freedom to write.
Oh, Jim, thank you so much for sharing that. And Rebecca, the freedom to write, it does give you that freedom if you, you know, have a little bit more time to sit down and collect those thoughts over maybe even a lifetime.
Absolutely. And I love that idea. And I have to say that in reading some of these statements from historical writers about, like, what's the best invention, you know, of the modern world, I can't remember which writer said it, but they said drains. They said just having the ability to get water out of your house. And so what Jim, I think what the last caller was saying about the toilet being a topic, it's like, yes, absolutely. Like, you absolutely should find the time to even document something that seems that mundane. And also that you're hearing him say, like, when he did that and took that effort, it gave pleasure. Like, it made people laugh. And I think it's so difficult to figure out how to find humor or something other than just sort of this gaping, like, oh my gosh, feeling of what are we to do, that sort of absence. It's nice to hear someone saying, here's something I can be funny about, I'm going to make people laugh, and finding that way into the process.
Patricia, here's some more inspiring poetry for you too, huh?
Yes, absolutely. I was kind of chuckling to myself. But, you know, one of the things is that we forget all of these details that happen in life. And when you go back and you read some of I've gone back and looked at my journals and think, oh, I forgot that. I forgot about that. That happened. I don't remember, you know. And that's the richness of it, because you in the day-to-day kind of experience, things happen and they become, they go on a shelf in your mind, and you get kind of shut a door on them. And you can go back now, like this gentleman is going back and writing his life history. And if he had a journal to pull on, he would find even more detail. So yeah. It really fits together that way.
No, it's never too late to start journaling. And we only, Stephanie, have a few seconds here for final thoughts. What could get us writing today?
Just start writing about your own experience. And like somebody said before, it doesn't have to be neat. Make it messy. Just thoughts written down.
And is there a good time to write? Are you a morning person or a night person?
I'm totally a morning person. I don't know if it's because the mind is freshest in the morning. I don't know, but I'm definitely a morning person. I prefer to kind of like the exercise. You know, you get it over and then you have the day to yourself.
It seems quieter too.
It does. Yeah. And it's kind of a sense of renewal. It's a new day. You can start over. You haven't failed at anything yet.
I think we have to end there. I haven't failed on anything yet. Oh, thank you all so much for joining us. This has been fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stephanie Bodine published 6 picture books and 10 novels for young readers. Rebecca Meacham writes fiction and nonfiction, chairs the English program at UW Green Bay. Patricia Skalka, author of the Dave Kubiak Door County Mystery Series. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with stories about random acts of kindness.
We've heard stories lately about people creating sidewalk and window art for neighbors passing by, a friend delivering flowers to a buddy who's homebound. These acts of kindness can feel so simple, but right now are touching us in much deeper ways. We asked our listeners to tell us about the goodness, joy, and love they've recently experienced. Here's what they had to say.
Well, hi, Maureen. This is Linda Beatham calling from Bayview in Milwaukee, and I have a couple. One was our Bayview community on New York Avenue, one of our neighbors, Suze, and she has a list of songs we're going to play from our front porch using the kazoos she bought each one of us, so I think that was fun.
My name is Ian Lowe from Madison, Wisconsin. A friend and colleague of mine left a 6-pack of beer on my front porch. It is New Glarus Brewing Company's Cabin Fever, so it was perfect. And I was, at the time, struggling to put my 3-year-old daughter down for a nap. And so, needless to say, it came at just the right time.
And about 3 weeks ago, I went to Target. My mind was on everything that's going on. Did not think about anything but getting a cart and getting in and out as quickly as possible. I grabbed the first cart I saw, and then I noticed I had grabbed a cart that a young man had just cleaned off for himself. And once I did put two and two together, he very politely said, "I just cleaned this for you." And it was just such a gift.
Hi, my name is Kate Duchateau. I'm a resident of Lake Mills, Wisconsin, and I work as a nurse in Madison. Because of the COVID-19 crisis, nurses are required to wear masks continuously, and that creates a lot of discomfort and broken skin integrity by the ears. So many of us have taken to wearing headbands with buttons on them to strap the face mask onto. I reached out to a local seamstress and business owner named Amy Slattery of Bugaboodles in Lake Mills to see if she would do the service. And when I asked her how much it was going to cost, she said it would be absolutely free, not to worry about it. And I thought that was pretty kind of her to do. As a small business owner, she is certainly taking a hit right now with the stay-at-home orders. And I know that she needs every penny that she can get.
This is Jennifer from Madison. Bagpipers from around the world coordinated to play their pipes last Sunday at 2 p.m. in support of healthcare workers. My husband, who's a bagpiper, played at 3 different fire stations for the EMTs.
Hello, my name is Nishant Jain of Chicago and formerly Eau Claire. People know me around those parts as the sneaky artist. I've been asking people in my neighborhood to send me pictures of their work from home setups. And I send them in return drawings of these makeshift desks and workspaces inside kitchens, inside closets, inside living rooms with children and pets all at the same place. I found that this is a good way to help people deal with their own problems and the unique challenges that this crisis has thrown upon so many working professionals. And also for me to distract myself from my phone. It gets me to do something positive. It gets me to focus on drawing and art and productive things for my brain than anxiety and worry over the state of the world.
Thank you so much to our listeners for sharing their random acts of kindness with us. Do you have a story you want to share? Go to wisconsinlife.org to find more details or email us at wisconsinlife@wpr.org. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. But weekends don't feel like weekends as they used to exist before the pandemic, so we could really use your help during this time. What subject could we explore for Wisconsin Weekend that could take us to all corners of the state? Send your ideas to us. We're listening. We want to hear them and find out what to explore. Reach out to us anytime at ideas@wpr.org, and we'll explore your tip. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is Wisconsin Weekend on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.